The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
I'm Laura Simon. So good to be back with you here this morning. We want to get right to meteorologist Jamie Travers with a first look at that forecast. Kind of a rainy end to our week, but I hear at least today is going to be really nice in terms of our weekend.
Yeah, you know, today, windy. Mm-hmm. Definitely windy, but most of us get through it dry, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll have some spots on radar, showers, maybe some weak thunderstorms or thunder showers. It looks to be pretty spotty, though, so maybe a brief downpour at times. Otherwise, today, largely dry, but winds, you'll notice those will be out of the south, and that will warm things up for us. It's already mild and muggy out there. Temperature-wise, we are at 65 degrees. That south wind at 9 miles per hour, you'll also already notice. So we already have the wind and the mild weather. The power Doppler showing a few spots of precipitation to our north and east in some of our Illinois counties over into south central Illinois. And those are moving eastward. So those eventually making their way out of the area. They're weak. They're basically just showers. And that will be the trend today. Just a few spots like that, really at any point in time. Potentially here through the morning hours and then continuing into the afternoon. That view from space, while we have had some clearing overnight, I could see the moon brightly this morning. I am expecting a lot of cloud cover still, mixing in with some of that sunshine. So clouds and some sun over the course of the day with some of that spotty activity. Temperatures are in the 60s already. They are already on their way to about 80 degrees or so for this afternoon. 76 though by 11, Laura.
Thanks so much. A memorial dedicated to the lives of three teens has been removed. They died in a crash last September. Fox 2's Taylor Harris has reaction from the grieving father of one of the victims, a Ladue High School student.
In September 2023, three Ladue students crashed into a University City home and died after being pursued by police. Recently, the family of one of the boys noticed the memorial at the crash site had been removed while paying their respects.
Are you telling me that this is an eyesore? Because it's not. It's a heart sore for me, you know? Forever.
Deion Robinson's father seeks answers as to why families were not informed about the removal of the memorial, prompting property owner Alderwoman Sharon Tyus to address the issue.
But I was taken to court. I have my paperwork right here and told that they were getting complaints. We took it down. During that six or seven months, because it's now been almost 8 months, we never heard from any of the parents saying, hey, this is all right. This is our private property. We could have taken it down that same day. But we know people were coming out here.
Alderwoman Tyus informed Fox 2 about the court orders requiring the removal of the memorial due to local residents' complaints. Despite standing for over 7 months, only deflated balloons and stuffed animals were left.
Riding by there and seeing the trash can with things no longer there is very heartbreaking because the things that was left there are not trash.
As Deion's 16th birthday approaches, his father expressed frustration at the lack of updates from University City regarding his son's case. The alderwoman also confirmed receiving no information from University City about the matter. Fox 2 reached out to University City for a comment but has not received a response yet. The victim's father expressed a desire for the families to retrieve the items from the memorial, while the alderwoman noted that harsh weather conditions had significantly depleted the items, and she was ordered to take the remaining items down. Reporting in University City, Taylor Harris, Fox 2 News.
The moments leading up to a driver crashing into a North County Cooperative police car is caught on camera. Surveillance video showing the SUV barreling into the police Tahoe here. It had two officers inside. Officers think the driver who crashed was intoxicated. Investigators sent a blood sample to the state crime lab. The officer suffered serious injuries, but Major Ron Martin says there has been a huge outpouring of support and his department is grateful for it.
I'm thankful that it didn't turn out way worse than it did. Our officers are still alive, but they're banged up. Facial injuries, neck injuries, back, arm, lacerations to their leg, all the airbags deployed on the police vehicle.
Police also recovered a stolen gun from the suspect's vehicle. Both officers were hospitalized after that crash on Thursday, but one of them has been able to go home. A psychologist testifies in the trial of Thomas Kinworthy. He's charged with the shooting of two police officers, killing officer Tamaris Bohannon. During cross-examination, the defense asked Dr. Patricia Zaff about Kinworthy's mental state. Zaff told the court Kinworthy was not in touch with reality at the time of the shooting. She also talked about how Kinworthy was abused by his father.
Trauma perpetrated by Tommy's father was emotional abuse and physical abuse. Tommy spoke about how his father would beat him, would verbally degrade him, would call him names, tell him he was stupid, physically hit him, beat him.
She says Kinworthy claimed he was hearing voices and was shooting at walls because he believed someone was coming to get him. A tow truck driver is arrested, accused of stealing cars. A woman says she confronted him after he came back to her Dutchtown neighborhood to steal a third vehicle. Then she called police. They ended up arresting 47-year-old Wendell Bryant while he was meeting with his probation officer about a different case. The jobs of more than 500 workers at the GKN manufacturing plant in Hazelwood will be saved. The company planned on shutting down the factory, but Boeing announced it will buy the plant and keep nearly all the employees. St. Louis County Executive Sam Page releasing a statement calling this great news for the entire region. Jason Hall, the head of the Greater St. Louis Inc. Corporation, points to Boeing's announcement last year of a nearly $2 billion investment in the region and other advanced manufacturing investments as positive signs. The financial terms of this purchase deal have not been released. A St. Louis Board of Aldermen meet to discuss the first slate of bills filed for the 2024-2025 legislative session. On the agenda, the city budget for the 2025 fiscal year. A new sales tax proposal to establish an early childhood education fund and refunding for the Metrolink Green Line expansion. Missouri Republicans want to block state funding from going to cities that declare themselves sanctuary cities. Our Missouri Chief Capitol Bureau reporter Emily Manley says that this could also require those cities to pay back any money they receive with interest.
The late addition to the budget was added by Senate Republicans this week, aimed at Kansas City, whose mayor publicly announced that he's working with the mayors of Denver and New York City to bring migrants to Kansas City to fill open jobs, grabbing the attention of lawmakers.
If the mayor proceeds down that path, he's going to lose all state funding that he would have in Kansas City.
In a statement earlier this month, Kansas City Mayor Quentin Lucas said he had a message for migrants looking for work. You're welcome here. Now GOP members in Jefferson City are trying to target the city with heavy sanctions.
We reiterated what current Missouri law is to put the mayor of Kansas City and any other mayor that might want to go down this road on notice of what's going to happen to their state funding. And then we added the provision that says if you become a sanctuary city and you've already spent state money, you've got to send that back to the people of Missouri plus interest.
Current state law says that no municipality shall enact or adopt a sanctuary policy. And if they do, they are ineligible to receive any state money until that policy is repealed.
And I don't want our city to be punished because we are helping those folks.
The language requiring cities to pay back the money with interest was the last item added to the budget after the Senate Appropriations Committee spent hours Wednesday deliberating the spending plan.
The current state law does not say you have to pay back
interest. Then you're legislating through the budget.
Kansas City Senator Barbara Washington warning her colleagues the state could end up in a court battle over this language.
Budget. Senator, we have lost millions of dollars as a state in legal fees for attempting to do this on Planned Parenthood through the budget.
Mayor Quentin Lucas said earlier this week the city will follow the law and is not a sanctuary city. Missouri House members shocked by this addition to the budget and are waiting to see what happens in the Senate.
It's going to muddy up the budget, try and make the fight about that, and I think we'll have to weigh how serious the language is and what the actual impact is.
Theoretically, I'm not opposed to the concept. I think we need to understand how it fits into the appropriations process, and I'm still looking to understand that.
Even though this legislation is currently aimed at Kansas City, the language could impact any city that enacts a sanctuary policy. The full Senate is expected to debate the budget next week. Reporting from Missouri Capital Bureau, I'm Emily Manley.
Well, we are right in the heart of tornado season, and we had our fair share of storms here in the St. Louis area yesterday. But in Nebraska, we're learning about multiple tornado touchdowns. In fact, hundreds of homes and other structures are damaged, and police and firefighters have been going door to door in some areas, helping people who might be trapped inside their homes. One Eastern Iowa student was in the area and caught some of this video on camera as tornadoes went through.
We saw a huge tornado that was wrapped in rain, so we couldn't see that one as much, and that went really close, so we got drenched in rain. We were in a group chat with our other Iowa State meteorologists, and they said there was a tornado near Harlan, so we went there, and we found a perfect spot, and we just saw it happening.
The National Weather Service has received reports of more than 80 tornadoes touching down in at least five states on Friday, and the threat for more storms across the Midwest and Southeast lingers through this weekend. So let's get right to meteorologist Jamie Travers to see if we're expecting to see any of the severe weather here at home.
Yeah, I was watching that unfold yesterday on radar, and the radar imagery was, I mean, it was pretty scary because you knew, like, this is on the ground.
It was a big tornado.
Yeah. Yeah, it was captured very well by storm chasers and by people in the area, at least one of them in the Omaha area that hit the suburbs, western suburbs. So unfortunately, that was a very scary day, a very active day. It's part of the same system that we're seeing march our way. But the severe weather threat for us today stays again to our west. So unfortunately, this time of year, we get into these multi-day patterns where we have severe storms in the same region or nearby regions day after day. And that's kind of what's going on here for the next few days. That threat does shift east more so for tomorrow, and that will have more of an impact on our area. Power Doppler showing a sub-severe shower there. I do not have lightning tracker on. Let me go ahead and throw that on. Yes, it looks like a few rumbles of thunder possible with that now mainly impacting Fayette County, moving toward the north and east, right there north of I-70 and basically right over the I-70-57 interchange there. This storm is heading there. That will probably also stay just north of I-70 for the most part. Otherwise, we are pretty quiet. A few other little spots of maybe some shower action a little farther to the south. And then as we take you to our far southern county, same goes for southern Reynolds County. Maybe a few spots of precipitation with the bulk of that staying southward of our area, but that is moving north and east. So a few spotty showers or storms, sub-severe storms for this afternoon, or really at any point in time, late this morning through the afternoon. Not anticipating severe weather though with those for the daytime hours. Here is a view from our Washington Avenue camera looking at, it's really hard to tell the kind of sky we're looking at, if it looks like maybe some high clouds out there. I know I could see a few stars. I could see the moon on my drive in this morning. So we have had some clearing, but we're also going to be seeing more clouds rolling back in. 65 degrees currently. It's a mild start. 62 for Moscow Mills, 63 at Union, 61 in Farmington, 67 over in Salem. A cold front back to our north and west. We have a low pressure to our north and also another one back to our west. We have had a few showers over the course of the overnight hours and then a few rumbles of thunder what we're hearing right now over in Fayette County, the far northeastern county in our viewing area. Zooming out though, still lots of systems and some fronts in play here, and that's going to keep it active in the plains and a part of the Midwest today. So futurecast showing a little bit of activity, but widely scattered, meaning a lot of dry time, but you might have a downpour or two. Here we are at 4 in the afternoon, still showing just a little bit of action on the map. Overnight tonight, looks like we'll have a weakening line of storms rolling in. This will be stuff that develops to our west, rolling in from west to east, weakening as it does so into tomorrow morning. And then even through mid to late morning, we could still have a little bit of activity. But what we're concerned with for severe weather will come later on in the afternoon and the evening. Looks like a strong line of showers and storms could march east across the region, and that could bring the potential for all modes of severe weather tomorrow, as well as some localized flash flooding. So for today, we're in a level 1 of 5 for the St. Louis Metro, technically, and then a level 2 back to our west, just clips our north and west counties. But really, our bigger concern is for Sunday, probably late afternoon and into the evening hours, where we are in that level 2 of 5 for severe storms. So keeping a close eye on that time frame today, 79 degrees. It will be windy. We'll have those winds out of the south gusting to about 35 miles per hour. Mild overnight tonight, still windy with those scattered showers and storms, hopefully below severe limits. Your extended forecast after an active weekend Monday, scattered showers linger, still pretty warm. A break on Tuesday before another round of rain and storms into the forecast late on Wednesday and last potentially through early Friday.